Those who pursue the rabbinate as a career confront a certain amount of cynicism from the broader Jewish community, who to this day continue to insist that being a rabbi is not a job for a nice Jewish boy. I recall 26 years ago when I informed my grandmother in the Halakha Borough Park in Brooklyn. After I returned from yeshiva, I was given the daunting task of approaching her, of going to her home and informing her of what exactly I was planning to do with my life. So I came to her door and I was informed her after she answered the door and we got into or engaged in conversation. I said I was going to study to become a rabbi, to which she responded by insisting that I still did not know what I was doing with my life. I very often contemplated the roots of this negativity and came to the conclusion that it was an issue of practicality. My belief, my understanding is that people would discourage young men from going or pursuing the rabbinate because it's indeed difficult to achieve financial security working on the salary of a rabbi. But a few days ago, this past week, I came across an article in Forbes Israel. The article was entitled, Meet Israel's Richest Rabbis, which revealed that the assertion with regards to making a living as a rabbi was not necessarily true. The article began with the premise that giving out blessings, I quote you, giving out blessings proves to be a lucrative business. As the rabbi industry, as they put it, bankrolls over 1 billion shekels a year. In the same article, they listed the list of the 10 richest rabbis in Israel, whose fortunes would span anywhere from, get a hold of yourself, 30 million shekels to over 1 billion shekels. What's more, the article revealed and claims that the rabbi's activities are difficult to monitor and therefore not always reported to the tax authority, which can give rise to much higher estimates than what was actually or is actually reported by these rabbinic authorities. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that rabbis have every right to make a good living. In fact, I'm all for it and I would love to experience it one day. However, one who recognizes the value and integrity which the rabbinate should represent must also recognize that the terms rabbi and industry, rabbinate and business, should never mix. When giving blessings is coined as a lucrative business, then there is something fundamentally wrong and religiously inept with an institution which is supposed to embody modesty, integrity, and spiritual substance. Particularly in Eretz Yisrael, where the Orthodox rabbinate has exclusive halachic authority, and which claims to be that it has that right because it is the only authentic and therefore privy to having or gaining these exclusive rights. Well, the price of having exclusivity is high, and when you decide that you are the only halachic voice because you are the only authentic voice of Judaism, well then one has to take even more care in terms of how they conduct their affairs and how it may be perceived in public perception. Meaning, things might be glatt kosher at home, but if they are not perceived to be that way from the outside, then therein is a problem as well. Perhaps it wasn't a coincidence that this same week, in the expose of the rabbi's salaries, was the same week that Attorney General Yehuda Weinstein accepted the legitimacy of rabbis from non-Orthodox communities, following a long struggle by the Reform and Conservative community, conservative rabbis, to be recognized officially and authoritatively by the State of Israel. The ramifications of this so-called recognition remains to be seen, and I'm not sure exactly how much impact practically it will have. However, as an Orthodox rabbi, while obviously I reject the conservative and reform platform, and although I believe that the Orthodox voice can and should remain the sole authority in Israel with regards to Jewish law and halacha, I recognize that there is a price you pay for waving the banner of halachic legitimacy, one which demands moral and ethical standards of pristine behavior, and one which the Orthodox rabbinate has yet to achieve in Eretz Yisrael. The official Orthodox rabbinate in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, known as Harabanut HaRashit LiYisrael, to a certain extent exhibits a lack of diplomacy and sensitivity, particularly towards many secular Jews, who are still known, by the way, to this day as Chilonim, which is a very derogatory term into itself. Chiloni comes from the word chol, which means secular. Jews should never be coined as secular. Jews are kadosh, they are holy. And even if they don't subscribe or agree to my religious practices or subservience, they still maintain within them what we believe is a neshama teora, a pure soul that can be influenced and that certainly can learn. And these Jews, these secular Jews, who may not understand nor at this point wish to understand religious law, but are nonetheless subject to it by none other than the Orthodox rabbinate, the Rabbanut HaRashit. For example, a secular Israeli who wants to get married must register at the Rabbanut of their local municipality, at their Iriyah, and they pay a considerable fee to a Rav, to a rabbi, who they are usually unfamiliar with, and they may meet for the first time at the wedding. And so you can imagine that if this rabbi is abrasive, or not accommodating, or not friendly, or not explaining himself, that it can have a tremendously negative impact on not only the chatan and kala, but also on those who are attending the chatuna, the wedding itself, because they may not understand why the rabbi behaves as such, why he demands the following halachic implications, because they're not coming with that same background. And therefore, it requires, and these ceremonies and requirements need to have very succinct explanations, sensitivity, diplomacy, and care given and offered. This same rabbi, many times, unfortunately, when they come to perform the chuppah at these weddings, will often coarsely ask for payment immediately following the ceremony as he hurriedly leaves the hall because he doesn't want to stick around for what might be perceived or what might be and is an unkosher type of atmosphere, disco, mixed dancing, and so on and so forth. And I understand that. But there's a diplomatic way to leave the hall. One could shake hands, say shalom, ask if there's anything they need, offer their phone number if they need any assistance, tell them that it's been a pleasure to be a part and that there's a schut, a special merit to have conducted the ceremony, and so on and so forth. And unfortunately, these pleasantries aren't classically exchanged. Many times this is the first and last contact which the secular Jew will have with an Orthodox rabbi, and it can leave the impression that, yes, quote, giving blessings can prove to be a lucrative business. The Parsha of Shlach, this is precisely the message that the Torah gives us with regards to the chet of the Meraglim. The Meraglim were the rabbis, the leaders of the Jewish people, the leaders of the Jewish community, who were sent on a mission to scout and assess the land of none other than Eretz Canaan, which was Eretz Yisrael and would be Eretz Yisrael, the land of Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, the land which has so much significant religious value to it. And there are many different opinions which discuss regarding the specific nature of their transgression of the Meraglim. That the Otsiu Diba al Eretz Yisrael, they spoke with Lashon Hara, they spoke negatively about the land, that they judged the land improperly, that they went beyond what Moshe might have required, beyond reporting about Eretz Yisrael, and actually, according to the Ramban, the report that they gave to Bnei Yisrael and to Moshe was fine. They were being honest. There are Anakim, there were giants in the land, and it was difficult to be able to, and would be difficult, to be able to conquer this land. But the problem was their negative transmission, their negative message that they gave Am Yisrael when they said Efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz. That Efes, that zero, that negativity that they prefaced their comments with completely deflated any positive motors and vibes that Am Yisrael might have had. Any encouragement that they might have had to want to conquer Eretz Yisrael was deflated with the word Ephes. It's all for naught. It can't be done. We're completely discouraged. But even when we look at these varied opinions in terms of what exactly the Meraglim did bad and what their sin and transgression was, I believe that the very root of the problem begins with their declaration. When they said, "Ki az ha'am hayoshev ba'aretz ve'arim b'tzurot gdolot me'od ve'gam yelidei ha'anak ra'inu sham." The people that dwells in the land is powerful. The cities are very greatly fortified. The moment that they approached Eretz Yisrael in this business-like fashion, in a practical fashion, rather than seeing it through spiritual eyes, rather than recognizing that there are miraculous feats when it comes to Am Yisrael and when it comes to Hashem's promise, which dates back to Avraham Avinu, with conquering Eretz Yisrael, that was the beginning of the downfall. That was the beginning and marked the beginning of the sin. Eretz Yisrael, Hashem wanted all of Am Yisrael to understand, particularly its rabbis, its meraglim, its leaders of the shvatim, the leaders of the tribes. Eretz Yisrael is more than just a piece of real estate. Its significance to the future of the Jewish nation is invaluable, as it marks the covenant between Hashem and His people. And yet, in a business-like fashion, the Meraglim dismissed its significance by convincing their constituents, i.e. Am Yisrael, that indeed it was a poor investment to make. Consequently, they revealed that they were not worthy to serve as the rabbis of Am Yisrael, and hence their positions and lives were compromised. Rabbis must adopt diplomacy and sensibility as much as they consider halachic discourse. They have no right approaching religiosity as one would approach a business. I have to tell you that I believe that had the official Orthodox Rabbanut of Eretz Yisrael, going back years now, had they been more sensitive for years in their dealings with the conservative and reform Jews and their rabbis, by interacting with them, discussing issues with them, inviting them to partake in various forum and even certain official ceremonies, this entire call for recognition by the reform and conservative may never have surfaced. Instead, the official Rabbanut HaRashit, the Orthodox rabbinate in Eretz Yisrael, continues to suffer from its irrelevance as it is not recognized by the Haredim. It remains ineffective in the Dati Leumi national religious circles and continues to be perceived as intrusive by the Chilonim, by secular Israelis. Yehi Ratzon that us within the Rabbanut and those who carry the banner of Orthodoxy understand and appreciate the weight of what that means. As a result of our understanding, we should be zocha to be the leaders once again of kibush Eretz Yisrael, of conquering our land, of yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of settling our land, and Amir Tzashem serve as the examples for all of what it means to be yoresh Eretz Yisrael, to inherit our land, lanu ulecho Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom.